let's stand as we just turn to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we'll be reading from verse 22 to 28. Looking at the scriptures, am I his sheep? Okay, am I his sheep today? Okay, let's read all the verses there, verse 22 to 28. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, asking you to teach us your word, asking you, Lord, to make sure in our hearts that we are your sheep. Lord, your sheep will hear your voice, and it will not be a discouragement to any. But yet, Lord, if there's someone here that may not be sure whether he's sheep, I pray today they will be able to make it sure, because your word teaches us that today is the day of salvation. That if anyone will hear your voice in their hearts and will respond to your word, Lord, they can be saved today because of your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is your Holy Spirit that will show these things. So, Lord, we are but your instruments. I pray today that you will do your will in all of our life. If there's a Christian who needs you to encourage, I pray, Lord, that your word will be the source of their encouragement. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, in John chapter 10, before I go on, I just want to preface this message. This message will be, hopefully, make things very clear in our minds with regards, because the title is, Am I a Sheep of Christ? Am I His Sheep? The Lord Jesus Christ was facing a crowd that was asking him, tell us plainly if you are the Messiah. And Jesus actually had to tell them. Okay, we'll explore the conversation afterwards. This is important because it deals with eternal life. It deals with salvation. Those who came to Sunday school, I mentioned in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:3, there are some people can actually believe, but in vain. In other words, they believe, but it doesn't lead to salvation. All right? Some of them may believe, but they believe the wrong things. They may be sincere, but they may be sincerely believing the wrong things. There are many people in different belief systems today. They believe in certain things, but it led them to hell. And so when Jesus taught this, it's a very, very important thing. And I hope that we will pay attention clearly. Okay? The Feast of the Dedication is the precursor to the Jewish festival that... How many of you have heard of this Jewish festival called Hanukkah? It's a Jewish festival. And the Feast of the Dedication is a precursor. It prepares for today what we call the Feast of the Hanukkah. Okay? At that time, Jesus walked into Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch apparently is a place whereby there's this place that there's a shelter. And the Bible mentioned that it was winter. So the idea there, in winter in Israel, some of you may be able to let me know, it's cold and it says rain. All right? And many of them were huddled together in Solomon's porch. During this time, as they were in Solomon's porch, these people actually asked Jesus in verse number 24, then came Jesus around about him, say, how long thou make us to doubt? How long are you going to make us doubt? Actually, Jesus didn't make him doubt. Jesus was very clear. Okay, in Jesus' conversation with the Jews, Jesus told you, I told you, I already told you I'm the Messiah, but you didn't believe me. In fact, I not only told you that I'm the Messiah, I've done many wonderful works and miracles, but you did not believe me. In John chapter 6, there was a feeding of the 5,000. Many of them actually experienced the miracle of God changing just 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding the thousands of people. In John chapter 5, the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda, many people saw it. In fact, Jesus was accused of breaking the Sabbath. And then in John chapter 9, the opening of the eyes of the man born blind. And they also got into trouble with the Pharisees. And people knew that Jesus was doing all these miracles. So Jesus said in verse 25, he says, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." What other evidence do you want me to tell you? What other things do you want me to tell you of? Jesus replied, there was a reason why people did not believe in Jesus. The reason why people did not believe in Jesus, because Jesus says, "He believed not because ye are not my sheep." There comes a time whereby evidences will not convince anyone because their heart is set not to believe. That's what Jesus is telling the Jews. You are not my sheep. You don't believe because you are not my sheep. You don't have any heart to receive the things of God. You know, the Pharisees and the Jews had every opportunity to receive Christ, had every opportunity to hear the doctrine that Jesus preached, which is from the Old Testament, that they themselves personally know, but they have already chosen, they will not believe. The reason many people do not believe in Jesus today, simply because they're not Christians in their hearts. They are not his sheep. There are many who call themselves Christians today, but according to the Savior, we need to know what are the characteristics of sheep. Okay, so what are the characteristics of those who call themselves his sheep? And the Lord Jesus goes on to explain the characteristic of a sheep. There are four things a sheep has. Number one, my sheep hear my voice. The sheep of God hears the voice of God. The sheep of God hears the voice of God. Sheep will only hear the voice of the shepherd who leads them. A stranger, they will not hear. A stranger, they will not hear. Those who belong to the Lord will hear his voice. At this time, Brock, you didn't stop there. Can you off the two lights? I'm going to show you something which I was asking the Lord, how do we explain this? And I realized that unless you can hear the voice of God, it is something that the Holy Spirit has to teach you. But I hope this will help us understand a bit, okay? It's from Netherlands. I thought it was Norway, but it's about a farmer of how they were doing a test of a few people calling sheep, and then the farmer calls, okay? Picture is worth 1,000 words. My sheep hear my voice. If you're a Christian, every time the word of God is preached, you will be able to hear God's voice in your hearts. And it's interesting, all the people who will hear the word of God verbally preached and taught are the sheep of God. If we are of God, we will hear his voice. John chapter 8, verse 47. Wait, hang on, this is the second one, but I'll give you John chapter 8, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Question for us, we need to personally apply, do we hear the word of God, the voice of God, in the words? Number two characteristics of the sheep is that God knows them. God knows them. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. I know them. In John chapter 10, verse 14, which is in your verses, I believe, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The knowledge there has to do with the relationship the shepherd have with the sheep and sheep with the shepherd. Those sheep have no relationship with the tree, or something they're trying to call the sheep, right? But no, when the shepherd came, when a farmer came and called, hey, kola, or something like that, I think it said. And the sheep, to me, when I first saw it, I was amazed. The sheep started to stick out his neck, and later on, as they kept on calling, the sheep actually came. The farmer knows who is his sheep. You know, it's not important that we say that we know Christ. It's more important that the Lord knows us. When the Lord Jesus said that he knows his sheep, it means there is ownership, that the sheep belongs to him. There is a relationship. Because in John 10, 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In other words, the shepherd knows the sheep knows the shepherd. can hear the voice. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let me explain in two parts. One, Chichi Chingray is not here because they're sick, I believe. Right? They're still coughing and all that. You know, up to today, they've been in our church for many years. Up to today, I still have a hard time differentiating who is Chichi and who is Chingray. Okay? Some of you who have been working with them may have a better idea who. I roughly have an idea, but I've never really pinned it down. Okay? Who is Chichi and who is Chingray? But you know, Brother Henry and Sister Summer don't have that problem, I think. I don't think they have the problem identifying who and which twin is which twin. That's what that verse means. I know them. I know who is mine because of their characteristics and their heart. Okay? And the clearest characteristic of someone who is a sheep of Christ, according to 2 Timothy 2:19, let they them nameth, everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from sin. We cannot call ourselves a Christian and still say, I will continue in sin. Number one, my sheep hears my voice. Number two, I know them. Number three, the sheep will follow Christ. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They follow me. Just now when you saw when the farmer started walking, the sheep would just follow. You know what the farmer was doing? He was feeding them. And as you can't see the bucket, there was actually a bucket. Of course, animals will follow where the food is. But it's interesting that even with the voice and when the shepherd calls or the farmer calls the sheep, they come. They'll come. You know, evidence of a sheep, once he recognizes, following Christ is an evidence of your relationship with Christ. A sheep, once he recognizes the voice of the shepherd, follows the shepherd every single time he calls. That's reality of the sheep and the shepherd relationship. Once the sheep recognizes that there is the shepherd who cares for him, the sheep will follow the shepherd every single time. And that's just in the natural laws of the sheep and shepherd relationship. Not occasionally, not once in a while, but wholeheartedly. Okay? This following is seen in his response to the word. Okay? Discipleship and salvation is a closely related thing. Discipleship and salvation is closely related. And I want you to hear this carefully. Biblical salvation is not dependent on our following Christ. In other words, when you hear the word of God, when you hear that Jesus died for your sins and you realize you're a sinner and the Holy Spirit convicts you, you realize you've got to repent from your sin and say, I believe in the finished work of Christ. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's biblical salvation. You hear the word, the Holy Spirit convicts you, you place your faith in Christ, you turn away from your sin. That's biblical salvation. Okay? It's by itself. However, Jesus said, genuine believers is evidence by whether we are actually following Christ. Because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's an accumulation. In other words, the life of the Christian who says they are Christian, their life will be evidence by following Jesus Christ. That's why salvation and discipleship are closely related. Okay? When I sign on the dotted line with my company, my attendance at work is closely related. Right? And it's something that in the scriptures, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The word "and" there in the Greek is accumulation. In other words, when this happens, this will happen, this will happen. Discipleship and salvation is closely related. Which is why Jesus says, My sheep will hear my voice, and I do know them, and they will follow me. They will follow me. This following has to do with continuing in His Word. It's not just to call yourself a Christian. It's not just to attend church, okay? I want to make it very clear. Although attending church is part of the instructions the apostles gave us, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Following Christ has to do with continuing in what Jesus says in His Word. As a whole, not pick and choose. Jesus says in John chapter 10, 8 verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on them," notice the salvation part, "if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and truth will set you free." The truth will make you free. Some of us are still bound in our sin because we have not continued in the word. But Jesus says, if you will continue in the word, it not only shows evidence that you are truly my disciples, but the truth will set you free from your sin. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." These are the four pillars of the early church. Continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, continuing steadfastly in fellowshipping together, continuing steadfastly in the breaking of bread, and continuing steadfastly in prayers. These are the four pillars of the New Testament church. And as a disciple of Christ, as his sheep, it's a given. You'll be there. It's a given. These are the pillars of the early church. In 1 John 2, verse 3 to 5, Jesus says, "Hereby we do know that we know him." This is how we know we're Christians. That we say we know him. "If we keep his commandments." The Bible is very clear. "He that saith, I know him." The idea that I know him is I have a relationship with him, and you're a Christian, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. But John was very upfront. There are some people who call themselves Christians during that time. John the Apostle was very clear with them. If you say you're a Christian, but you do not keep his commandments, you are lying. And the truth is not in you. Okay? The truth is not in you. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the will of God perfected." Now this is an interesting thing. John taught that those who keep his word, or those who say they're Christians but do not keep his word, they're liars. In other words, they're not Christians. Stop. But those who keep his word, God matures his love in their lives. Does that make sense? In other words, they grow. They begin to love things that they don't used to love before, like the word of God, like in prayer. They begin to love their family more. They begin to love their spouses more. They begin to love God's word more. They begin to love the church more. They learn to love believers more. Their love is perfect. So number one, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The sheep will hear the voice of God. Number two, he will know them. Number three, they will follow him. There's a fellowship with our salvation, which is an evidence of our salvation. Number four, the fourth characteristic is that this sheep have the promise of eternal life. Oh, this is wonderful, the last part. He said, "And I give unto them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." These are the characteristics of genuine sheep of God. You know what Jesus says? "And I give to them eternal life. I give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." When we have repented of our sin and accepted the free gift of God of salvation from God, we are his sheep forever. The sheep will forever recognize the voice of sin, unless they are deaf, unless something happens to them. But you know what? If you're a sheep of God, you're a sheep of God. That's what Jesus taught. He knows us personally, and we follow him freely, and he gives us eternal life. Now, he tell you two things about this eternal life. Number one, it's a gift. There's no such thing as a free gift. Think about that. There's no such thing as, oh, this is your free gift. A gift is free. Do you have to work for a gift? How many of you, when someone gives you a birthday present, and say, nah. Then you say, oh, how much I owe you? No, a gift is a gift. Right? I don't think we are here to play semantics, you know, but a gift is a gift. So when God says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. It's free. A gift is a gift. We don't have to do anything or give anything to receive salvation. It's a free gift. And the second thing is guaranteed. If someone is in Christ, there is no one that can pull us out of God's hand. That's eternal security. A genuine believer is eternally secure in the hands of our Lord. Eternally. Okay? Jesus says, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And number three, there's a third thing. Oh, not yet. Not the invitation yet. Okay, let me just... Okay? The third thing is Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are a Christian, your future is eternally secure in Christ. Because Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, because they are following me. Can I tell you one interesting characteristic of sheep? Sheep are dumb. Sometimes they may go other places. When the shepherd is not calling, they may do other things which they're not supposed to do. And so sometimes sheep can be caught down in the ravine, they may be caught in the fence because they want to explore certain things. You know what sheep, what the shepherd does to these sheep that strays? He disciplines them. And I have learned with horror, you know how the shepherd disciplines the sheep? He breaks their legs. So that they won't run away again, number one, and number two, to help them through the disciplinary process, to help them to come back, to listen to the shepherd's voice a little bit more. Praise God for eternal security. I hope as a believer, you believe in eternal security. If you don't, you're not believing the right gospel. I say again, the gospel that Jesus gives is a free gospel, a gospel that leads us to eternal life, and we have the assurance of our salvation. If we don't believe in a gospel that do not lead us to eternal security, you're believing the wrong gospel. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. An illustration is, I got four children, they have my surname. You know, one of these days, I don't know, unless they are working with Christ closely, they can go wayward. You know? Not willing, they won't. But if they do, they're still my son. They're still my daughters. We don't have to do anything for our salvation. We thank God for that. But one of the characteristics is, as we grow in our Christian life, the evidence of our salvation is that we are following Jesus. Simply because we love Him. Simply because Jesus is the one that takes care of us. He meets our every need. Praise God for eternal security. It gives encouragement to us who are following Christ, that despite whatever this world throws at us, one day we will still be in heaven. For Christians, can I encourage you, for you who are following Christ and you're clinging on to Him, and yeah, the winds are blowing, the lightning is flashing across the sky, and you're experiencing all kinds of dangers around your life, let this encouragement be in your heart. One day you will see Christ. Because you are His sheep. And Jesus knows whose you are. And you have that relationship with Him. One day we will be in heaven, and with our Savior, because our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I have one more passage. Just turn to Matthew chapter 11. It's not there. There are Christians who may feel, Brother Johnny, I know I'm saved, but I've wandered away. Can I say this? Matthew 11, Jesus do have encouragement. And when Jesus was preaching Matthew 11, He wasn't preaching to the high and mighty. He was preaching to those who are broken. Those who are trying to do right and yet they fall because they were led by Pharisees who are not teaching them the right thing. So Jesus taught them this in Matthew 11, verse 28. Just listen to the scriptures. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. At verse 28, Jesus says, number one, come unto me. Those who are labor and are heavy laden. He defines a group of people who are serious about finding rest in Christ. He throws this as an open invitation to all, but specifically he targets those who are heavy laden in their hearts. In the context, we know it's referring to non-believers. And if you today are seriously seeking for the truth in Christ, Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you the spiritual rest that you need. Can I apply this to a Christian as well? If you find yourself heavy laden with sin, and it is your desire to separate from it and find heart, Jesus says, come to him. Come to him. Come to him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. But it does involve you taking on his yoke. That means that when we come to Christ, we are willing to allow him to tell us what to do in order to go the direction he wants us to go. Does that make sense? Because, you see, take my yoke as the idea. Jesus was using the illustration from agriculture or from farming. The bull or the buffalo they're supposed to pull, in order to do good work for the farmer, needs to put on the yoke of the farmer, that the farmer puts on them. And he's supposed to pull in a certain direction that the farmer wants him to pull. Does that make sense? And when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, basically, Jesus is saying, if when you come to me, be willing to take what I tell you to do. Continuing in the word. It's the same thing. It's the yoke of obedience. It's a yoke of obedience. Because when Jesus says to go this direction, we're supposed to go this direction, then we have the peace. But if we don't, then we'll constantly be fighting God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In all of the New Testament, the only time Jesus says, learn this from me, is in this verse. What did Jesus ask us to learn from him? Meekness. Be humble enough to say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, I don't know what to do. Tell me. And Jesus says, learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, you will find rest. That's a promise. That's a promise. In verse 30, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, pulling a bullock is never easy. But why did Jesus say it's easy? How many of you have worked hard for some project, but you're never tired? Or you're physically tired, but you're joyful in your hearts. Have you done that before? That you're doing something and, yeah, you got to stay late nights and all that, but you don't complain. Why? Because there's joy in your heart for what you're doing. That's what Jesus is saying. Because the real rest, Jesus is not referring to the externals. He's referring to the internals. My yoke is easy. No, serving God should never be hard for us. Because we already have the eternal life. When we serve Christ, it's because we love him. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much inconvenience we need to go through, we are still willing to, simply because we are his sheep. Raso, Rakla, and all these brethren, you know, when I was in the Philippines, I see a lot of the preachers who are very, very poor, and yet they serve Christ. And they have a joy in their hearts. There are many of the brethren, I took photos with them. You know, I'm very touched by their sincerity. They are not rich. I mean, they may earn 3,000 pesos. That's only, what, $80 in Singapore terms. But you know what? They struggle, and yet they have joy in their hearts. And you know, one of the things, they always say, thank God I'm here. And I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian who is struggling, Jesus still says to come to him. As we close, a Christian hears his voice, is known of Christ, will follow him, he has the assurance of eternal life. And the question I ask you today, are you his sheep? Did you hear the voice of God in all the messages over here, in your own Bible reading? Do you hear his voice? Do you have a relationship with him? Jesus says, I know him and am known of mine. And the last question is, Christians, are you following him? All right, let's close with prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this simple message, Lord, whether we are his sheep or not, will help us to identify for ourselves if we are the sheep of Christ. Lord, I thank you for your word that is so clear, so open, so simple. The Lord, all we need is for us to understand it and from the Holy Spirit to impress it on our hearts. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, and I ask, is there someone here today who says, Pastor, I heard the message. You know, I say I'm a Christian for many years. Now I understand. I know about Christ. I understand the gospel, but I've never trusted Christ and left my sin. And I want to do so today. Is there someone like that? By indicating, if you raise your hands, you're just telling me, Pastor, I'm sincere. I really want to understand more. I just want someone to share with me the gospel, so that I can be sure and be a sheep of Christ. Is there someone like that? You may be a church member, you may be anyone. I'm not here to stumble your faith. But if God is speaking to your heart, if you've got sheep, you know it. But if you're not and not sure, then I just recommend that you make it sure. Is there someone like that? Put out your right hand, I'll pray for you. I'll get someone to share with you the gospel. Is there someone like that? All right, if you're a Christian, sometimes sheep do go astray. And I encourage you, as Jesus encouraged us, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe there are Christians here that may not have peace in their hearts because they know they're not following Christ as they should. I'd like to pray for you, but you have to show me by the uplifted hand. If someone like that said, Pastor, pray for me, that I might be the sheep of Christ. Is there someone like that? I'm struggling. Amen. I see that hand. And pray. Tell Christ your desires. Amen. I see that hand too. Is there someone else? You know, we may be struggling for some time. Why don't you give it up? Because Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Let's listen to the promise of God more than what we think. Is there someone else? Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a sheep. I'm hearing God's voice, but I have this struggle that I know I need to surrender in some areas. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for two brethren who put up their hands. Lord, I know that your word will bring forth fruit. And I pray that for us, personally, we will be so clear in our hearts as to what we need to do with you if we are believers in Christ. I pray that every one of us will hear the voice of Christ because it is the voice of Christ. As we've seen in that video, how the farmer calls and the sheep comes simply because of that relationship. Lord, I pray that we will not deceive ourselves if we are not saved, but if we are, help us to learn to follow. I pray for these brethren, strengthen their resolve and their determination to put their lives in your hands. Even as you say, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Lord, you told us to take your yoke upon us. Father, teach us what it means, not only of salvation, we are thankful for that, but teach us also about discipleship and following Christ, Lord, with all of our hearts. We thank you for what you're going to do. Pray in Jesus' name.